Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of the Final Boss Blues RPG Maker podcast. I am your host, Des Payne, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Raynard Frost.
Hello, everybody.
And it's been a few weeks since we've had a podcast. We've been pretty busy. It was Easter was a big thing. It was a holiday week, and I was also playing Bioshock Infinite, which I skipped a week on the podcast because I was working my way through that game, which was awesome. Everybody should check it out. But before we talk about anything else, let's jump into our Play or Flay.
Play or Flay. Today we're going to talk about a game called Skinwalker, which you can find on the RPG Maker web forums and completed projects, isn't it?
Yeah, it's finished. You can also find it on rpgmaker.net. It has a game page there. And this has been developed by a person named Snow Owl. So, Raynard, do you want to read the summary of the Skinwalker game?
Yes. Four friends from the same university go out camping together. But while gathering firewood, strange sounds can be heard from the forest. After that, things get gradually worse.
Bum, bum,
this
bum.
Is the classic camping trip gone wrong movie from the 80s made into an RPG Maker game. And that's Skinwalker by Snow Owl.
Yeah, and then he says it features a minimalistic soundtrack, with mostly sound effects, trying to, set the scary mood. And he says, I recommend turn off all the lights, pull down the blinds, and put on headphones for maximum enjoyment. The playtime is only roughly 20 minutes, which I like. It's more like a short story than a full epic game, which in a lot of situations it works better that way. Like something like this that seems like it's more about setting the mood and, telling a little self-contained story. A 20-minute game, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think the idea that I can play through this game in 20 minutes and get the experience makes me more likely to want to download this game.
Not to mention, it's a completed 20-minute game.
Yes.
So, a game that's done that runs 20 minutes is better than a game that's 2 hours but isn't finished.
Yeah. Yeah, because I can get the whole experience. And this, I mean, say you have a demo, and the demo is 2 hours long, and they're like, the full game will be 40 minutes long. Most of the time, the full game is never going to get finished. So when you play that two-hour demo, you're never going to get a return on that investment of your time anyway. So I really like the idea of a short 20-minute game that you can just play through in one sitting. So do you want to talk about the screenshots?
Sure. So they've got a Slender Man font.
Yeah, the font's really annoying. I hate goofy fonts in games. Like, it's good for a logo, for the title screen, for maybe, like, important headings, that kind of thing. But for the regular text box and your messages, it annoys me. I mean, this is not as bad as some that I've seen. I mean, it's readable, it's big, which I like. I like big fonts. But it seems a little too gimmicky for me to want to read through it for a whole game.
Well, fortunately, you only have to tolerate it for 20 minutes.
And that does make it a little less bad.
Yeah. And then, there's a screenshot where it's basically just forest and sky, which I assume this is like a story shot because there's a bit of dialogue and no context on the screenshot. Yeah. So the next one is a small window with a black background, and I guess it's supposed to be the player looking through a window, and it's just, there was someone in the tree. You see a tree with a floor background, and then
yeah, kind of like visual,
a really hard to make out character set. And it's cool because they're trying to do perspective, and they've done a good job with the lighting. Like, usually, I'm not a big fan of lighting in RPG Maker games because I'm all, hey, remember old Super Nintendo games? How was the lighting in those? Not that extravagant, yeah. Right? You're right. So, needless flashy stuff is annoying, but with this, it's pretty good. Stuff's pretty dim to simulate night, but there isn't all this oversaturation of Photoshop effects, and they are doing cool things with perspective for some screenshots. And the next one shows an interior.
The next one shows me that I see original tiles.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I mean, they're not anything fantastic, but they're good. They're passable. And they're original, which makes me say, wow, it stands out. You see so many games that are all the same. They use all the RTP graphics are all Celiana stuff. And when I see a game with tiles that I've never seen before, I don't know if Snow Owl created them himself for the game, or if he found them somewhere, or whatever, but I've never seen these before. Character sets, too. The character sets are original. They're not in the RTP style. They're not in any style that I've seen a bunch of times. So it looks to me like this game has totally original art, which is a massive upside for it.
and it's finished. But yeah, no, so far we got two.
And yeah, it's finished.
And I like the next screenshot where it's them walking through a dimly lit forest corridor with only a bit of lighting around one of the characters, because I assume he's wearing a light, and there's a slight fog effect. And they go, this fog is really annoying, though, which I can sympathize with, because usually when I see a fog in a game, that's generally what I think.
Yeah. One thing I have to mention is that all these screenshots look really, really dark. And I get that you're setting a mood. In the screenshots, it works, but it just makes me wonder about the game itself. Like, when I'm playing the game, will I be able to see enough to know what's going on, or will I just be, like, lost? Like, this one where he has the light around him. It works in this kind of setting, but if I were to play through an area and try to explore or something, I could get frustrated pretty easily if I can't see what's going on.
It seems good enough. Like you said, you should turn the lights on, put on some headphones, and then maximize the game, obviously, and the lighting should balance itself out.
I suppose. I mean, it's probably not so bad in-game, but looking at screenshots, it's definitely something that sticks out to me.
Yeah.
I like the next screenshot a lot, with everybody around the campfire. I mean, yeah. The tent is RTP.
The campfire's got some brighter lighting, but not too much, and then you see the rest of the forest, it's all foggy.
Yeah, it shows off the original character art, the sprites. I mean, they're not fantastic, but they are unique. And I would like to play a game with unique original graphics, even if they're not good, because it would be an experience that I haven't seen before. It makes the game stand on its own.
Yeah. And then on the next one, we got some dude standing by a lake where
that's a lake.
Half of the screenshot is just blackness.
Oh, I can't even see that it's a lake. I the caption says it's a lake, so.
Yeah. You just see a bit of water with some plants in it.
Yeah.
It's hard to make out.
Yeah, the environment... It works, though. I mean, you can tell it's a dark, creepy forest area.
Yeah.
Like, it sets the mood in a good way, which I guess is the whole point of the game, to really set the mood.
And then the next screenshot is before everything starts. So the forest is more well-lit. There's some, like, sunlight poking through.
Yeah, I like the trees and the construction of the forest in general. The way that there's, like, the black area around the trees. I think they did a good job of showing the clear paths and... Yeah,
yeah,
the maps are well done.
It comes off as a forest. It looks natural, and it doesn't look cluttered.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell where to go. You can tell where you came from. And it's not... You don't have, like, all sorts of distracting stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
So I like the mapping a lot.
Yeah, the mapping is very well done. The characters are custom. The game's done.
And then the last screenshot just shows the camp again, which we've seen before, but now it's during the day. It's a little better lit. There's no fire, that kind of thing. And there's characters all over the place. I mean, there's the four main characters, not like characters everywhere, but there's the four main characters in different positions. So
yeah.
It tells me, like, hey, you can go and talk to your other characters at some point in the game, which is cool.
So that seems to be about it about the game. There's not much else to look at, but from the looks of it, it's basically kind of a exploration adventure type game.
Yeah, it seems like it's more about the atmosphere. And
yeah, where it's, you know, you follow stuff and you poke around and then scary stuff is supposed to happen.
With a game this short, it's only 20 minutes, it's a short story type of thing. I don't really need a massive explanation of the game. I just need a few screenshots, which we got, and a brief summary, and that makes me interested. I don't need to sit through the huge character description and all that, because the game is short enough where I can get that quickly anyway.
It's only 20 minutes. No need to serenade it.
So what do you think? Is this a play or a flay?
I would say this is a play.
Agreed. Especially because it's short. Usually I say, hey, this game is a play, but I have no desire of checking it out. This game being only 20 minutes and a standalone experience like that, I actually am kind of interested in downloading it and seeing how well it's put together.
Way to defeat the purpose of the program, man. This is a play. I wouldn't play it.
Yeah, this is a play, and I actually would. So, Everybody, check it out. It's called Skinwalker by Snow Owl. You can find it on RPG Maker web forums under Completed Games, and you can also find it on rpgmaker.net. It has its own game page there.
That has been our Player Flay. And now we get to move on to our topic at hand, where we discuss endings.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about endings.
Which is an interesting thing to talk about in the sense of very few people get to this point. But it's also something to consider because when you're trying to... If you plan out the ending to your game after you've planned out the beginning or you plan out the ending first, either that, it gives you basically a goal to aspire to so you can start connecting the dots. Whereas if your ending is amorphous, then your project's just going to end up being never-ending. ending.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to talk about endings again is because I played Bioshock Infinite the other week. And that game, if you haven't played it yet, go download it now. Buy it. It's totally worth it. It's like 14, 15 hours if you play it right. If you play it right. I guess there's more than one way to play it. But you get to the ending of the game, and it's like a shooter, but it's so story-based. When you get to the ending, it just blows your mind. It's so well put together, and the story comes together in an awesome way at the end, and you're just like, this works. This totally works. It couldn't end any other way. So that's why I want to talk about endings today. There's story endings, and there's gameplay endings. And I want to touch a little bit on both, because I think that every game should have two endings, but not like... I'm not saying that you should have multiple choice endings. I'm saying that your game should have a gameplay ending and a story ending. Like, say that you have your story, right, and your characters fight the bad guy, and then there's your epilogue, and everybody's happy ever after, whatever. You watch a cutscene. That's your story ending. Obviously, you probably want something a little more in-depth than that. But at the same time, you have your gameplay ending, which comes before that. And it's sort of like the climax of the gameplay. Everything that the player has played up until that point should come together in the final boss, the final dungeon. And you have to put a lot of effort into thinking about that in terms of the ending as well. Because, I mean, your story ending goes after the gameplay ends, usually. But the gameplay has to end on a real high note. The player should feel like he's really being challenged. He's being tested. Everything that he has learned, everything that's come before, he has to put it into action to have a satisfying ending. I hate seeing games where the final boss is completely different than the rest of the game and it makes no sense. I hate to bash on a Mario game. I love Mario games. But the final boss in Super Mario Sunshine was so disappointing. It was just Bowser, and all you had to do was ground pound on these things. And it was super easy, and it didn't really make use of all of the game's mechanics very well. I mean, sure, you could spray him with your water thing, but mostly
water gun, yeah, backpack,
flood
thingamabob.
But mostly you just had to ground pound this certain areas that were kind of designated to be ground pounded on, and it was really disappointing in that way. I think that a final boss in a game should really make use of everything that the player has learned up until that point.
You definitely want to, all the game mechanics that you've introduced throughout the game, you want to at least touch on them in the final chapter of your game. I mean, obviously you also want them to be relevant throughout the game, but your ending is also important, because if you basically just discard everything the player has learned and then just throw in features, or not even just throw in features, but just go with the most basic features, it, like Despain said, it makes the ending feel very underwhelming. You're like, all right, I've done so much and I've learned all these things, but all I really needed to do was stuff I could have done from the beginning. So why did I go through all that travel? Like, why did I go through that journey if the growth I've done is irrelevant?
A game with a really, really good example of a gameplay ending is The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. You've all played the game. I've mentioned it before. Everybody's mentioned it before. You know how it ends. And the final dungeon works really well. It's kind of predictable and cheesy in some ways, but from a gameplay standpoint, it's almost perfect. It could have been a little bigger, maybe, from a personal standpoint. I would like to see a little more from it, but really, it's so well done and well designed, because it brings to your gameplay everything that you've done before. There's like a room for every dungeon that you've been to, or at least all the major adult dungeons. And it tests your ability that you've learned from each one, which I think is really cool. And
yeah,
like you were
saying earlier, it's pretty much, you know, all the things I've learned up to this point are still relevant at the end.
Yeah, it's like your final test of everything that you've learned. Like you get your forest area, and you know you have to use the skills that you learned in the forest temple, and you know, there's the lava area where you have to use what you learned from the lava temple, and these kind of things, and the way they come together is really nice. And then the final boss, the gameplay is satisfying. It doesn't use a lot of your mechanics, but it does make you use a lot of items, and it makes you use a lot of the knowledge that came before. Like, there's the boss in the forest temple, and then there's the boss at the end, which uses a similar kind of mechanic, because the Forest Temple was a ghost version of the final boss. except now you use your light arrows instead of regular arrows or something like that. But then after that, there's the final boss where Ganon becomes a monster, and he knocks away your Master Sword. And it's really cool because then you have to kill him with your hammer, or if you have
the Goron sword.
Or if you have the Bigoron sword, you use that. So the idea is that you have your items that you've acquired throughout the game, and even though he takes away your ultimate Master Sword, you still have these other things that you've acquired, and you can use them. And I really loved it. I love that the way it brings it all together at the end. Like, hey, I found the sword in this dungeon, and it or this hammer in this dungeon, and it let me, you know, smash rusted switches. But since I have it with me, I might as well use it to fight this boss because, you know, I don't have my sword on my hand. So I thought it was a really good way to bring it together at the end, and I think it's a great example of an ending from a gameplay perspective.
Yeah, basically, when you're doing your gameplay ending, imagine it kind of like school, where, think of it this way, when you were in school and you have an exam, and you were taught during the course of the class certain subjects, and then you get your final test, and it doesn't cover parts of what you learned. You feel like, why the hell did I waste my time learning that? I'm not using it. I'm not utilizing it. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's cool in a school scenario where you get to learn interesting knowledge. I'm not peeing on that. It's more of just, you know, you made me put forth so much effort to learn these certain subjects, and you didn't even utilize it in the test. Now, some people might view that as a blessing, as, oh, sweet, now the test is easier. I don't have to put in as much work. But when it comes to being a video game, it's these are the skills you've learned. If you don't get to use those skills later on, then it feels like they were just a waste of time or gimmicky. I mean, with Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword, some abilities you got, you used only in a dungeon and never again.
Spinner.
So you definitely want to make what you learn feel relevant. I mean, in my own project, I introduce strategies with certain bosses, but I also make it so those strategies can be used later on with other bosses while also adding more strategies. So it's more of, or when you use certain environmental abilities of being able to investigate the environment and shit like that, those things also carry on to the next section while introducing new things as well. You want to make it so when you get up to your ending and also during your ending, you want to make it so whatever the player has learned feels relevant, feels useful. And it's also, with the story ending, that you kind of want to basically close up any loose ends. I mean, if you want to leave a cliffhanger for a sequel that you may or may not complete, that's also a cool thing to throw in. But basically, when you're doing the story part of your ending, you want to come up with a resolution to the whole conflict that's been going on throughout the game, and you want to tie up loose ends. And, you know, you as much as I love Mass Effect 3, you don't want to end up with an ending that is so, like, you can have an ending that's open for interpretation, where it's just, all right, these are some things that happened, you can fill in the blanks yourself. Some people might like that, but other people find it unsatisfying. It's like, no, I want you to tell me what happens, because I've gone through these characters, I care what happens to them next, and even though, yeah, I could come up with my own definition, it doesn't feel definite. It doesn't feel like, oh, this is what actually happened, it's just what I hope happens.
When I think of a good ending to a story, I think about one that's really rewarding and satisfying, and makes the player feel like his time was worthwhile.
Yeah.
A really good way to shit all over your player's expectations is to pull out a Deus Ex Machina at the end, which is something comes along and saves your players at the last minute that they're not expecting, pretty much. Or something comes along and defeats the bad guy for them that it wasn't really hinted at. It's just sort of like, oh, you know, oh, there's a god that comes along and crushes the bad guy. Yay, everybody is saved. And it just feels like it's like a punch in the face to your player. Like, you put all this time, all this effort, you care what's going on, and then at the end your character doesn't even do the thing that has to be done, you know?
What game has done something like that?
It's more about literature. I mean, I don't play many games.
Oh, okay.
I don't play many games.
Does game podcast, doesn't play games. But yeah, pretty much.
But I mean, I'm sure there are some games that have.
Yeah, in games that doesn't really happen that often that I've seen. More in case, less Deus Ex Machina. I mean, yeah, that's a good thing to keep in mind. You don't want to wrest the resolution away from the player. It should feel like the player, it should feel like the player's effort is what has brought resolution to this conflict.
Yeah, that's exactly
just,
the point.
Oh, you were adventuring around, but by the way, you didn't need to do anything because this mythical creature was going to handle this shit anyways. The one thing you want to keep in mind with your story stuff is that you don't want to end up with a Deus Ex Human Revolution ending where basically you go through all these adventures and stuff and then your ending is basically, all right, pick one of three options, where it just totally undermines everything you've done previously in the game. It feels like everything you've done doesn't matter. You could have just done whatever you wanted because you get your choice of endings at the end. So when you're doing your ending, it should feel that the choices you've made through your game matter.
BioShock 2 did a really good job with this. There were basically two major choices you could make during the game, and I don't mean like two instances where you made choices, but two types of choices. There were like four NPCs, and when you encountered them, you had the choice to kill them or let them live after like you learned about them or something. And then there was also the Little Sister harvesting, which was also in the first BioShock. And the cool thing about BioShock 2 is that there were a lot more than just the three endings from the original BioShock. Because in BioShock 2, there were two separate points in the ending. I guess I'm going to go into a little bit of a spoiler here. So if you haven't played BioShock 2, mute or something. But
I haven't played BioShock anything for longer than 10 minutes.
You should. It's really good. But the idea that the ending...
I will. They're sitting on my
the
desk.
Ending in BioShock 2, there's the first part of the ending where you're rising up to the surface and your daughter is encountering the final boss, the kind of final boss. You didn't really fight her, but she was kind of the antagonist of the story. And the way your daughter disposes of her, she either saves her life or kills her. It depends on whether you let live or killed your NPCs during the game. And then after that, there's another ending, which takes place after, and it has to do with what happens to you after your, spoilers, your character dies at the end. And it has to do what kind of legacy your daughter lives after, and that has to do with what she learned from the way you treated the little sisters, whether you saved them or harvested them. And when you put those two endings together, you get a lot of possibilities, and I think that's a really cool way to do it. It's not just, you know, you made this choice, you got a good ending. You made the choice, you made the bad ending. It's more that your daughter learned from you from the different choices that you made, and there's more than a good ending or a bad ending. There's all sorts of different things that could have happened because of it.
That's a good way of doing it, is where all your choices reflect the ending.
I mean, not every game needs multiple endings. I mean, that's just an example of a way that you could incorporate that kind of thing. In most RPGs, you'd rather have one ending.
You don't need to have multiple endings. Sometimes it's difficult enough just to get one satisfying ending. A lot of us are spoiled with RPGs nowadays where there are multiple endings. But honestly, some people like to play a game multiple times to see all those different endings, and that's kind of why we have multiple endings, is so people feel compelled to play your game again, make different choices, and see what happens. But then there are other people like myself where I just go, no, I want a specific ending. I'm going to do what I want to get that specific ending and then never touch that game again. So, I mean, like, when I play Persona 4, they've got a true ending where you have to do a certain amount of criteria, and then you get the canon ending, which is the only one I care about. There are other endings, which are, you know, worse endings, that are still interesting endings, but I've never seen them just because I don't want the bad endings. I want the true canon ending. It's the only one I care about. I want to know what actually happens, not what could happen. So that's another thing to keep into consideration when you are doing multiple endings. I mean, if you're strapped for time, just work on your, like, true, this is how I want the game to end, and don't feel compelled to do let me have a bad ending, or an evil ending and then a good ending, you know. It's when you're making your game, every choice you make is extra work on your part, so you shouldn't throw in a bunch of meaningless choices that just adds time to your dev cycle. You want to make all of your choices have meaning. You want your choices where, if I put in this choice, it will have a drastic change on the story and the gameplay, or at least a meaningful one, you know, it doesn't have to be super drastic, but it should have impact. That's what it is. Your choices should have an impact on the game, on the player, and on what they do. So that way you can save yourself time to get your game out the door, and you can also make it so where the player's playing your game and they actually make choices, it feels like those choices matter. I mean, if you're throwing in a choice where, oh, do you want coffee or tea? And the player's like, oh, I could choose between coffee or tea. But when you buy coffee or you buy tea, it doesn't effing matter. You're still just going to drink it. Your caffeine and your character's going to keep going. Choices like that don't really matter, and they're kind of pointless. I mean, it's nice, but I guess, but it should have a meaning. Like, if you choose coffee, then you get these certain stats improved, or you impress a certain character more, and that opens up a whole branch of dialogue, or if you get tea, you get a different type of dialogue. But each dialogue path you take should be unique and should feel rewarding on its own. You know, if it's just the only difference is just, oh, you chose coffee, nice choice. I like coffee because Colombia grounds, blah, 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 blah. That doesn't matter at all. It has no impact on the story, has no impact on the gameplay, and it's just a pointless choice. You've wasted your time, you've wasted my time, just for the illusion of choice.
And sometimes your story doesn't even want multiple endings. Like, there are a lot of stories where there's only one ending that will actually work. See, I mean, we talk about multiple endings because it's the big thing in games these days. You know, a lot of games have endings that, you know, your choices affect. But sometimes you just don't need it. Sometimes it shouldn't be there. BioShock Infinite only has one ending. You make some choices during the story, but they don't really affect the ending. They affect different things within the story itself, or they affect the way that you feel about the characters. But the ending, there's only one, and there only can be one because the way it works. You'll see it when you beat the game. It's perfect.
You're talking about BioShock 2's ending. Then
I'm talking about Infinite now, the new one that just came out. Unlike the other two games in the series, it doesn't have multiple endings. It just has the one, and it's perfect. There's a reason it only has one ending, because it's perfect.
But yeah, if one ending is the only one that really fits and that really feels satisfying, don't feel compelled to make an alternate ending just for the illusion of choice. You know, it's like, oh, I want the story feels like it should end a certain way. Why waste time making an alternate ending that doesn't feel as satisfying or doesn't feel right? Like, oh yeah, I can do this to see how shit could go wrong. And it's kind of for fun. So, I mean, if you have the extra time and you want to put in that effort, that's okay. But don't feel like you have to have multiple endings. Because sometimes just having a single ending, it wraps your story up. It makes it feel fine. And you know, another way of handling... Oh, here we go. Another way of handling endings is... I'm going to reference Mass Effect 3 again. Mass Effect 3 had their... Once you finish the gameplay section, they had this little story chunk at the end, which that one's the whole up for debate thing. But the one thing that I found interesting and what some people might have overlooked is that the ending of Mass Effect 3 happens throughout the entire game. The entire game is your ending, because throughout the game, and I mean, this probably works because it's a trilogy, it's not something you could probably do with a standalone game, but throughout the entire game, you're wrapping up all these loose ends that you had created in Mass Effect 1 and 2. So, you know, you see what happens to this character and what happens to this character, and you finish up this story arc and this story arc, and basically throughout the gameplay, if you're doing this as a standalone game, it's just the final act of your game is the ending. So it's just, oh, we're wrapping up this stuff, we're wrapping up this stuff, this thing happens to this character. So instead of finishing the game and having somebody sit through like a 30-minute cutscene, Metal Gear, you can make it so you are wrapping up these ends and you are doing your ending while allowing the player to still play through it. It's like, okay, I complete this thing, there's this ending. I complete this thing, this thing gets wrapped up and ended. And then when you finally finish all of the gameplay, you have a shorter ending, but through that final act, players have already had the loose ends tied up. So when you have your final ending, this little final cutscene, you have less loose ends to wrap up, and it makes it so the player doesn't have to sit there for that long. But it's also kind of an odd balance game, because you don't want the player to feel that the ending was too abrupt.
Yeah, I like that. Here's a question. What do you think about twists?
Twists? Plot twists. Avoid predictability.
But at the same time, you have to foreshadow.
Okay, Game of Thrones.
Spoilers.
First season.
Spoilers.
Or the first book. Ned Stark gets his head cut off.
Spoilers.
His spoilers. but yeah, so Ned Stark gets his head cut off.
It's a huge moment that really sets the tone for the entire rest of the series.
Because the entire time you're sitting there, you're thinking, he's going to get out of this. There's a way to get out of this. This isn't going to happen. The entire time you're like, no, this can't be real. This isn't what's supposed to happen. I am not expecting this to happen. Like, because up until that point, there's so many people basically giving him outs, giving him ways to get out of the situation. Like, there are ways to get this saved. Like, they didn't want to kill him because it would cause a huge stir. And then you realize that Joffrey is just a sick, twisted fuck. And he goes, oh, by the way, I'm going to cut his head off because this is who I am. And that is when you get to, because up until that point, Joffrey just came off as this really annoying kid. But he was being controlled by his parents. Like, he wasn't out of line. But then the king dies, and now Joffrey's king, and he seizes control, and he does what he wants. And you're just like, that twist basically goes, the twist teaches you two things. One, nobody is safe. Up until that point, Ned Stark kind of seemed like the main character, quote-unquote, and the hero. And at that point, when he gets his head cut off, you realize, hey, nobody is safe, and B, expect the unexpected when it comes to these characters. It's, you know, people who are evil actually have the ability to go through and carry out these twisted plots. So if you're not careful, shit like this can happen.
Joffrey's not evil. He's just misguided.
Yeah, you say that. I say he's a sipping little prick. But I hope he has a pleasant wedding that doesn't leave him too choked up.
Boy, dude!
So, I got a question for you, Despain. What game had a really amazing ending?
BioShock Infinite.
For you, that wasn't BioShock Infinite.
All right. I'll give you two examples from different perspectives. Okay? Let's say you look at Metroid Prime, or one of the older Metroids, or pretty much any kind of platformer, like Mario Galaxy. I loved those endings, even though there was nothing that really happened, right? Like, it just shows your character, and you escape the planet, or you're Mario, and you meet Peach, and she makes a cake, and you're happy. And in those kind of games, where it's so much about gameplay, and it's not really story-heavy, those kind of endings are fantastic, because you feel satisfied, you're like, hey, there's a resolution, but you don't really have to sit through this massive cutscene or anything like that, right? So I like those a lot. And then on the other hand, if you look at a more story-based game, let's look at Zelda again. In Ocarina of Time, it showed all the sages and everybody happy at the end, whatever. And I really liked how during the credits it showed all the people in the city, and they were all partying at Lon Lon Ranch because you saved the day. And if you feel satisfied because, hey, there are these people that I saved, you know? And in Majora's Mask, I liked it because it did this really cool thing. In Majora's Mask, you have these three-day cycle. And throughout the game, it says, you know, dawn of the first day, dawn of the second day. And then when you finally beat the game, it gives you the same type of screen, except it says dawn of a new day. And you're like, holy shit, I did it. It's the fourth day. You know, I accomplished everything. And, you know, that happens, and then you're talking to a Happy Mask salesman and stuff like that. But the satisfaction of reaching a point that you've never reached before, or the satisfaction of knowing that what you've done throughout the game has really had an effect on the world and the characters. When I think of a good ending, it's one that leaves me satisfied. It's one that makes me feel, you know, everything I did, it was actually worth something. And that's what I like.
Yeah. Link to the Past had a similar ending as the other games, where it's basically they just camera pan over previous areas and they show certain characters. Like, and on Death Mountain, there were, in the Dark World version, there's these two kids, and one looks like a little demon kid, and he's kicking around this rubber ball guy. And in the ending, you see them in their human forms. They're just chasing each other around on Death Mountain. So you get to see how they changed, or it shows in Kakariko Village, the different villagers chilling and the guards that actually look nice and not all dark and twisted. And it's cool to just kind of touch upon areas you visited previously and to see what has changed for those characters.
Oh, here's one. So, there's at the end of Paper Mario, there's a parade. I always thought those were fun.
There you go. and you know, you can find that balance depending upon the tone of your game. I mean, for a more lighthearted game, then yeah, having a parade showing off all the different characters running around, that's, you know, really awesome. For a darker tone game, you can still show just kind of like what happened to certain characters. I mean, the Ocarina of Time, Link to the Past stuff, those type of endings where they kind of look over and it's like, where are they now type endings, those can work for darker games as well. But at the same time, you can also have an open-ended ending where, I mean, if you watch any Hitchcock movie, you'll see that they give you some information but leave stuff open-ended to a point where you're not sure what happened. And that's kind of a double-edged sword. Like the movie Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, where the movie ends right when the guns they've been trying to get the entire time are on the side of a bridge, and the guy's trying to precariously lift them up without spilling them in the river. And it shows him reaching for it, and then it ends. So you get to choose, does he pick them up and they fall in the river and everything was wasted, or does he get them back? So stuff like that some people find frustrating, and other people sit there and go, oh, that's kind of cool. And I get to decide what happens. There's nothing definite about it. So it's a double-edged sword, and you got to be really careful with how you do it, because it's easy to tip it one way or the other, where it's too open-ended and the player doesn't feel satisfied. So I personally don't recommend that, but that is still an option that some people have used and some people like.
Yeah, those kind of approach works a lot better in movies or books or TV shows. I mean, I think that The Sopranos has probably the most perfect ending, the best ending of any TV show. Maybe the only exception there is 6 Feet Under. But I love the ending of The Sopranos, and it seems open-ended. I mean, everybody, you know, you hear people making fun of it all the time where the screen just went black. But there's a lot more to it than that, because there's a lot of foreshadowing in the season before that. And you actually do know what happened if you really watch the show, and it's really sad. But it's so well put together that I think it's maybe a perfect ending. But you can't really have that same kind of approach in a video game.
Well, see, that what you just described, that's pretty much what Mass Effect 3 was trying to do, where there's all the foreshadowing of what happens that throughout the game, like you realize what's going to happen. Where they screwed up is they kind of, that final arc of the game throws in all these new elements and it twists your perception of reality, that it confuses the player at the end. So when they actually cut to black, you're just kind of like, wait, what was all that stuff at the end? What happened? And also, whenever you're making a game, always have an ending where the protagonist lives. Because if you kill off the protagonist, I'm going to hate you with a fiery passion.
I like it when heroes die. I mean,
I like it when heroes die, when it's a hero that's already predetermined. I can cope with that. But if I'm making my own custom character and the character is me, I'm like, no, you have to give me an option to survive. Even if it's like I have to do dickish things to do it, give me an option where my character survives and gets to live a comfortable life.
Yeah, because
there's got to be a Captain Kirk third option. Don't just be like, all right, you have these three options. All of them involve you dying, but in different ways and with different consequences. I'm like, no.
See, it works for me in some games. BioShock 2, I said the character dies at the end. And it's very well done because he dies.
Spoilers!
He dies with meaning. There's purpose to it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I always like shows and movies and books where the main character dies at the end. It feels like, if it's done well, it really feels like it had meaning. If it doesn't have meaning, then it's just sort of disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm a selfish bastard, so it's like, what? I have to sacrifice my own life to save it? What? Where's this whole thing where I can save the world and be able to enjoy it afterwards?
Yeah, that doesn't work. Anyway, Reynard, well, what
I
are
play
your
video games? So what, I can do these things.
What are your final thoughts on endings?
Final thoughts on endings. Don't kill off the protagonist if you can help it, or unless it has meaning. Cover up all your loose ends. Basically, make it so your ending finds that balance between explaining stuff and but doesn't feel too oppressive. I guess. I mean, I prefer having everything explained to me. What happens? The less I have to put up to imagination, the better, because I'd rather you tell me what happens than me trying to find on my own. Because I'm like, well, that could be what it is, but it could also be something else. So, but ultimately, what Despain said is your ending should be satisfying.
Yeah, that's exactly my final thought. Whatever your ending, you know, however you approach it, if your hero dies or whatever, make sure that the player feels like the time he put into his game was worth it. That's the big thing for me. When you get to the end of the game, you want them to think, wow, I actually did something. You know, I put all these hours into playing the game, saving the world, whatever. And at the end, it was totally worth it. You don't want your character to say, you know, he wakes up at the end and go, wow, that was all a dream. How much, you know, like, what? Like, fuck you, dude. I saved the world. I want credit for it, you know? So
that's what it is. Your ending should feel like the choices you made throughout the game had meaning.
Yeah. So that's my final thought. I think we've covered as much as we could about endings without, you know, going off too hard. Rainer, do you want to talk about...
It's a pretty spoilerific episode.
Yeah, it's a tough one to do.
We did a good job, I think. So now we're going to talk about the question of the week from 3 weeks ago. and that was, how do you develop your characters? And one person replied saying they use notes in the quest log that are written from the protagonist's perspective to let the protagonist share their thoughts on what happened, which I think is a cool way of being able to develop the character without making it so heavy in the player's face. And as for this week's question, how do you plan on handling the ending to your game? Do you plan on having multiple endings? Do you plan on having a single ending? Do you plan on killing this, killing that, do you plan on making the gameplay challenging? You know, how do you plan on handling the ending to your game? So with that, I'll let Despain sail us off.
Yep. As always, you can find us on finalbossblues.com. Make sure to leave us a reply there. Let us know any problems you have with the podcast, any suggestions, any ideas for future topics, and of course, your answer to the question of the week. Not only can you find us on finalbossblues.com, but you can find us on Facebook. You can like us there to follow us, to keep up to date on when we release new podcasts, new articles, that kind of thing. And also on Twitter at finalbossblues, or you can follow Reynard Frost on Twitter too.
At Reynard Frost.
So
and then you can also find us on RPG Maker web forums.
Maybe.
With the podcast topic. And I believe you can also find us on rpgmaker.net with a similar podcast topic. Yeah. So with that, this is Reynard Frost saying sayonara.
Yep, and from Despain, adios, everybody. See you next week.
Nothing more to contribute to that topic? I kind of just repeated myself about 3 times on that.
This is not the best topic.
No, endings are not the best topic because they're endings.
I just wanted to talk about Bioshock.
That's the problem, is like, I want to talk about Bioshock. Let's talk about endings. Wait, I don't want to spoil the ending for anyone.
I know, it's hard.